We are happy to greet our listeners to this program in Christ's worthy name. We want you to listen for the announcements of meetings at the close. We have been looking at some Old Testament texts which confirm New Testament teaching, showing us that the Bible is one book. Today our text is found in Psalm 22, verses 1 to 6. I have been thinking of Christ's words to the two disciples who walked on the road to Emmaus that resurrection morning, recorded in Luke 24, when Jesus himself drew near, and as they walked and were sad because of their unbelief, he said, "O fools and slow to heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Christ upheld the script that the scriptures spoke of him, and also the book of Psalms. Today we are looking at Psalm 22, the first six verses. Some have said this psalm gives the whole Bible in its teaching. We know the Bible is given by inspiration of God. It's sufficient to lead anyone to heaven. And this psalm explains why a sinner can go to heaven. The first verse was heard from Christ's own lips by all who stood near that cross as Jesus died. It was bad enough for Christ as the creator of the world to have his creatures forsake him, and worse to have his disciples forsake him. But how much more terrible when God forsook him, and he cried in the language of Psalm 22 and 1, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" All that passed by that cross reviled him, and the religious leaders gathered around the cross and mocked, saying, "He saved others. Let him come down from the cross and save himself." It says the thieves also that were crucified with him cast the same in his teeth. Yes, both Jews and Gentiles cried together, "Away with him." And today, many even in so-called Christian lands do not want Jesus and have not believed on him. Oh, how many today think much of their church and their religion or their works, but little of the Lord Jesus, the Savior who suffered so much agony in order to save us. They have never questioned why did God forsake him. Psalm 22 pictures vividly, even 1,000 years before Christ came, how he suffered, both at the hands of men and at the hand of God. God sent him to die in order to save us. Isaiah tells us it pleased the Lord to bruise him. This was the only way a righteous God could pardon us. There are three questions asked in this first verse. We shall notice first the question and then find the answer. Question number one, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Question number two, why art thou so far from helping me? And question number three, why art thou so far from the words of my roaring or my groanings? He says in verse 2, "I cry in the daytime and am not heard. I cry in the night and am not silent." On the cross, Jesus cried during the daytime from 9 a.m. to 12 noon when the sun was shining brightly. Then he cried in the night season from 12 o'clock noon to 3 o'clock in the afternoon when darkness covered the earth. And in verse 3, he tells us he knows the reason for this terrible suffering he had to endure for man's sin. He says, "Thou, O God, art holy." Thus he endured it. He suffered for sins, the just for us, the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Peter says he bare our sins in his own body on the tree. God had to turn his back on his own son, who was bearing our sins, who was dying for us. This was the hour Christ so often referred to, the hour when he would be lifted up to die for sinners. He said he was the corn of wheat that had to be put in the ground and die in order to bring forth much fruit. He said time and again, the Son of Man must be lifted up. There was no other way he could save us. Just before Judas betrayed him, he washed his disciples' feet because his hour had not yet come. Or now it had come. He was going to depart out of the world. He was going to go back to the Father. And shortly after that, we see him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying, "Oh, my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. He knew as he looked on his father's face it was impossible, because either sinners must suffer hell or the Savior must die for our sins. So immediately he cried, "Not my will, but thine be done." And not long after that he cried, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Matthew 27:46. In verses 4 to 5 of Psalm 22, we find him looking back over the history of God's people Israel. He says, "Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered, and were not confounded." Yes, God wrought great deliverances for that nation when he punished Pharaoh with plagues and brought them through the Red Sea by his mighty power. They cried for bread, and he rained manna down from heaven. They cried for water, and he gave them water from a flinty rock. But when Christ on the cross cried for water, men gave him vinegar to drink, mingled with gall, and when all forsook him, he stood alone. I remember some years ago I was in Los Angeles, California. A Christian friend told me to be sure to see a beautiful painting of the crucifixion in the Forest Lawn Cemetery. Some days later, I was asked to take part in the funeral by a boyhood friend who had lost his wife. The funeral was held in this very cemetery, so I went to see the painting. He had told me the thing that struck him the most was the aloneness of Christ. There I saw him pictured standing alone, apart from the men who were digging a place for the cross, and another group gambling over his robes, and others staring at him, and so forth. But as I look back into that picture today, I remember the beautiful robe the artist had clothed him with. And as I read this 22nd Psalm, verse 6, Jesus says, "I am a worm and no man." I recall that even before he had reached the cross after his trial, Pilate had him scourged, and no doubt his back was at that very moment either bleeding or very sore from that scourge, and he was in terrible pain. Oh, I realize that no man could paint a picture of the awful horror that accompanied Christ's death on the cross for us. The sufferings he endured at the hands of men were terrible. They were dreadful, but nothing to be compared with his sufferings at the hands of God. During those 3 hours of darkness when God was making his soul an offering for sin, when he was smitten of God and afflicted, when he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities, and when the chastisement of our peace was upon him, that means to give us peace, he had to be chastened for our sins. He said in the language of Psalm 62:69-2, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I'm come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I'm weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God." Yes, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter, and God laid upon him the iniquity of us all. This is the meaning, perhaps, of verse 6, where he says, "I am a worm and no man." Men doubtless looked upon him, treated him as a worm. It says he was a reproach of men and despised of the people. In those eastern countries, they used the scarlet blood of a certain worm to dye garments and other things. Scarlet was also used in some of the offerings and in the tabernacle. When Joshua's spies went into Jericho, they told Rahab to put a scarlet cord in the window of her home for her deliverance when the city would be destroyed. Sin is also pictured as scarlet in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, where it says, "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." When Christ became a worm and no man on that cross, he was made sin for us, in order that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Thus the garments of salvation have in them the scarlet color. For it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanseth us from all sin. And that blood speaks of a life poured out. God demanded a life for a life, and his own Son had to become man and pour out his life's blood to save us. Yes, the Son of God poured out his soul unto death. He gave himself that we might be delivered from the wrath to come. Only the few in this world realize why Christ came into the world, why he died on the cross and rose again. Only the few believe on him as Savior and Lord. He himself said, "Wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. But narrow is the way, narrow is the gate that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Oh, my prayer is that none of my listeners will be lost because they have not trusted Christ. He's the only Savior. He was prophesied in the Old Testament time and time again. His sufferings were foretold, what he would have to endure upon a cross of shame to save us. And when he was born, the angel said, "His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." The apostles preached Jesus as Savior. We read that God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And when the jailer wanted to know what he should do to be saved, in the prison, Paul and Silas cried out and said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Oh, my friends, he's the only Savior. Let us believe God, that he died for our sins. Let us believe on the Lord Jesus to be saved, and hearing God saying, "Thou shalt be saved," that very moment, those who believe on him are saved. Saved for time, and saved for all eternity. He is the only Savior. May we not pass him by. And if you haven't trusted him, my friend, open your heart. Confess your sin. Thank him for dying for your sin. Thank him for shedding his blood to put them away. Receive him as your Savior. You'll never regret it. Shall we pray? O God, grant that men and women will realize thy great love, will understand the suffering of Christ for their sins to deliver them, will open their hearts and confess Jesus as Lord and Savior even today. Oh, may many listening in, if they have not already, put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus. We know the time is short. We're not going to be here very long. But we thank thee that the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us from all sin and prepare us for heaven. And we pray that some will trust him today in his worthy name. Amen.